Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Hello to all our listeners.
Yeah, we want to praise and thank God for all those listeners. Thanks so much for being with us today. We certainly appreciate it. We appreciate all that you do for us here at In His Sign, both your prayerful and financial contributions that have kept us on the air for some 40 years now. And I think today we have a couple of great shows for you. Father and I are going to talk quite a bit today about a saint that's important to us, Father Mark Zhi Dingzhang. He was a Chinese martyr. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, I have the editor from Crisis Magazine on, Eric Sammons. He wrote a book called Deadly Indifference. And in this book, he explains pretty much how the church got to where it is today. And so you're not going to want to miss that either. It's going to be two great shows. So again, thank you for all that you do that allows us to bring you shows like today's. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine is open in St. Gabriel's Church, corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grays Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. It's open from 8:30 a.m. in the morning when we have daily mass until 6 o'clock at night. On Tuesdays, we're going across the street over to our Matt Talbot Chapel where we have our Calyx Mass, but all are more than welcome to join us. We're going to head over there until the middle of September due to the heat. We have air conditioning over in the chapel, so come on down, make a pilgrimage, spend some time with Matt. If you come on Tuesday afternoons, they also have a holy hour from 1 to 2, with followed by benediction with Father Foley, the new administrator of the parish. And, you know, spend some time and make the pilgrimage.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking how we moved from the church to the chapel, you know, for the air condition. And you made me think of that story. One of the best homilies I heard was a real hot day, like in the 90s. And there's no air conditioning in the church, and everybody's fanning themselves, and the priest gets up, he does the gospel, and for his homily he says, "You think it's hot
here?"
Now,
I was thinking the same thing, Father. You know, do we really need to go across the street? Because in there with the fans that are going, it's bearable.
Think about years ago when they didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
All of our elderly brothers and sisters came with dresses and suits and ties and never even thought of anything different, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't miss something we didn't have, right?
Yeah, no, it was back before deodorant, too, when people didn't care about sweating or what they smelled like. But, you know, today, God forbid, somebody shows up in church that's been outside working for a while, they'd probably be asked to leave, you know. But times, they are a-changing. And hopefully for the better real soon.
Yeah.
I was just, Father and I were talking before the show just for a minute, and I didn't have a chance to listen to Kathleen yesterday. And if you missed it as well, you're going to want to check it out. You can, she does the video on Facebook, so if you're friends with Kathleen on Facebook, you can get to it pretty easily. I'll be taking a copy of the audio, and I'll upload it tonight on the website. But you're going to want to hear the locution and vision that she had last Thursday evening at her prayer group. And something not to be missed. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time during this show talking about it, obviously. But if look for it late tonight or early tomorrow morning, you'll be able to download it off the website at inhissign.com. You go out, click on content, and then podcasts. And you'll see most of the shows get uploaded there eventually. So let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
And St. Mark G. Tianzing.
Pray for us.
And also for St. Henry and St. Kateri Tekawitha.
Pray for us.
And all the angels and saints.
Pray for us.
And may the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance and want to call toll-free, you can call us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Reminder, if you have struggle getting a signal on your AM dial, you can always listen to us over our website as well at inhissign.com. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. We want you to give us a ring as we go to the break, and we'll get you on as soon as we come back. If God's touched you in a particular way in the last week or two, we'd love to hear you. It's great to have witnesses of what God has done in our lives. So for this week, we are in the 15th week of Ordinary Time. On the July 11th, if it hadn't been a Sunday, we would have celebrated the Feast of St. Benedict. Tuesday the 13th, shout out to my good friend Jimmy Trainer and his son Hank. It was St. Henry. On Wednesday the 14th, today, we celebrate Kateri Tekawitha. Thursday, tomorrow is St. Bonaventure. And then on Friday the 16th, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. But Father and I, we've been chatting the last couple of weeks about talking just a little bit more about a Chinese martyr. By the name of St. Mark Zhi, J-I, Tianzing, T-I-A-N-X-I-N-G. And Father, I think it's almost a Is That Odd or Is That God. I got a text message today from somebody with a link to a news article, and the CDC came out with the overdose deaths last year. 93,000. And that's up over 20,000 year over year. And, you know, we talk about the COVID crisis or the pandemic, and, you know, this thing is as bad, if not worse. And, you know, we've talked about it. Nobody seems to be doing anything. The fentanyl is just coming over that southern border like, you know, like candy. And it doesn't seem like anybody's doing a darn thing about it. And, you know, being in the work that we're in, and especially you, because right now, you know, you're doing it full-time. I'll be doing it full-time in a month or so. But, you know, to get to know some of these people and know that the issues that they have, and especially the ones that get a taste of recovery and look like they're on the mend, and, you know, next thing we know, they've either died from an overdose or they're on a ventilator. Or maybe they were lucky enough to survive an overdose and somebody Narcan'd them. But there's so much work to be done. And, you know, it's like a mixed feeling. I look forward to doing the work. But, you know, with it comes a lot of heartache. But at the same time, we've had a number of wins over the years. And I think that's what really keeps me going. And I'm sure it's part of what keeps you going. So we need to continue to fight the good fight. And this St. Mark Zhi is, you know, we've talked in the past about Maximilian Kolbe being a patron of addicts, and it was tough to put the link there. You know, it's based on him being injected with carbolic acid because he didn't die fast enough in the starvation chamber in Auschwitz. So because he died from having a needle in his arm, he was held up as perhaps a patron for addicts. And then Matt Talbot, of course, but Matt was alcoholic. And, you know, while alcoholics and addicts have a lot of the same traits, they're not always identical. And you're going to hear a lot, I think, today about St. Mark G, and you'll see some of the differences. But that's where I think St. Mark G comes in, especially in this time, for all those that are addicted to heroin and fentanyl and, any of these opioids. And that's where St. Mark G was. He was born in 1834. He would die at the age of 66 and have his head lopped off for being a Catholic. But in between, he was a physician who struggled with stomach problems. And being a doctor, knew that perhaps opium would help relieve that stomach issue. So he starts taking opium. Next thing you know, he's addicted and just can't get off it. For the next 30 years, he would struggle with this addiction. And, of course, this is before addictions were labeled a disease, even though Father tells us all the time, Augustine way back when, talked about his mother's disease and labeled it a disease way back when. It really wasn't until the 20th century with it. I guess the psychologists and psychiatrists and doctors and everybody got on board and said, yeah, alcoholism and addiction is a disease. And so St. Mark G struggled with the disease, but he never gave up on his faith. For a few years, he would go to confession and confess it. And eventually his confessor would tell him, you got to stop coming because you're not trying hard enough. If you do your penance and really want to amend your life, you would have got off this stuff by now. And so for the next, if that's 2 years into it, maybe it was 28 years, but close to 30 years, he would continue to go to Mass, continue to pray, and not receive the sacraments. And knowing that, one of his surest ways perhaps to get to heaven was through being a martyr. And so it just so happens in 1900, the Boxer Rebellion starts to happen in China, and he and his family members are rounded up and sent to jail. And they're given an opportunity to, give up on their faith, and they could live, and they didn't. And St. Mark G's only request was that he would be taken last, because he didn't want any of his family members to die alone. And so he witnessed 9 of them have their being beheaded, and then he himself lost his head because of his Catholic faith. And he would be canonized by Pope Pius beatified November 24th, 1946, by Pius XII, and then he was canonized on October the 1st in the year 2000 by John Paul II. And his feast day was last week, last Friday, July the 9th. So that's the skinny on St. Mark G and the facts of his life. And I know Father's, it feels like I do, that this is the guy for our times. So, Father?
Yeah. Good job, Ken. His feast day was on your baptismal day.
That's right.
Here, July 9th. And it was the feast of St. Augustine Zhaorong and his 120 companions. So here's 10 of them right here. Mark G, his son, 6 grandchildren, and 2 daughter-in-laws. And he had such a wonderful reputation as a doctor. Everyone looked up to him, and he never took any money from the poor. And, of course, with the opium, he lost his reputation, and people turned from him. And even when he was arrested with the family, they said he'll be the first one to deny Jesus. And as you said, he asked the guards if he can just be there, for them and encourage them as each and every one of them were beheaded. And he was praying the litany of the Blessed Mother, when his time came. Great devotion to Mother Mary. And that's what it's all about. You look at this guy, he wasn't, you know, it said, like, in the beginning of that article that I read, Mark G. Was an opium addict. Had been an opium addict. He was an opium addict to the day he died, and then becomes a saint in the church. And I think that gives a lot of hope, you know, especially to parents, Ken, who lost their children through drugs. Who knows what happens during that last hour? Our Lord has the last word. And, you know, it is a sickness, and a terminal sickness. And you know, we see miracles all the time when guys get off the drugs here, you know, in our group, in our Calyx group. And, you know, that's a miracle every day, you know, and they tell their God story. And every one of them, they have a God story, you know, a story of grace. But some can't get it, you know. And we can excuse, you know, we got all the compassion in the world. If you have a heart attack, or, you know, a stroke, anything like that, you know, we have compassion. But, you know, when the brain breaks down, and that's what happens with drugs, the brain breaks down. But because it brings in morality, and people got to have it because they get deathly sick. If they don't get their fix, they shake and all, and it's all, that's their God. And people, even today, don't see it as a sickness. They see it as a moral issue only, and it's more than that. But Mark J. gives the really hope to all the addicts. And you know, Ken, we see so many of them, you know, that are sober, but so many are not, up and down 29th Street here. And yet, you see their faith. You know, they'll pass by the church, bless themselves three times, even look over and see me and come over for a blessing and ask for a medal, you know, a bottle of water, whatever. But you see basically their goodness in them. And it's so beautiful to see their faith. And with Mark G., he couldn't give his life to Christ because of the addiction, but he gave his heart to Christ. He never lost his faith, even when the confessor at that time, and everybody, the whole world, thought it's not a sickness. Don't come back to confession. Don't go to the sacraments. But for 30 years, he kept showing up at church. He still had that faith, and he was praying to be a martyr. And that day came. And because of that martyrdom, the church raises him up to a saint, someone that addicts can really relate to. And you know, I you know, that's our go-to guy. You know, we pray through his intercession, and I feel his presence and his love. You know, and who knows better than what Mark G. went through, and all the hurt and pain and sorrow in his heart. But yet he kept going. He didn't give up, and in the end, he stood strong because of his Catholic faith and gave his life to Jesus Christ and was martyred. And an addict every day of his life becomes Saint Mark G. Tianzeng.
Amen.
Amazing story.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I just learned today, I didn't realize that there's a sculptor that had done a sculpture of St. Mark G., and it's in the shrine up in Massachusetts. I was trying to see how close it is to Stockbridge and maybe make a trip up there and visit the shrine and the Divine Mercy Shrine as well. But you know, the priest up there was saying that he's the saint for this time. He's a saint for all those that struggle with addiction. And, you know, like you said, here's a guy, you know, for 30 years, day in and day out, and, you know, that needing that fix in order to survive and not knowing how to, perhaps how to get off, and he was a physician. You would think if anybody would have known how to get weaned off the opium, he would have been able to figure it out. But you know, he couldn't, and it just shows the grip that these drugs have on you, and you know, we get to see it, and even, you know, when people have been off it for a while. There's still that stranglehold. There's still that thought that, you know, next time it's going to be, you know, it's going to be different. It won't be as bad. They just want to feel good, and that's where I think, you know, our Calyx Society comes in, because, you know, this world's hard. You know, I forget F. Scott Peck. Or Peck was the last name. The Road Less Traveled starts the first sentence. Life is difficult.
Yes.
And it's hard enough when you don't have an addiction, and then to be coming off the addiction. And 12-step programs are great. I mean, they will help you learn how to abstain and how to get away, but they leave it up to the individual to figure out, you know, who their higher power is. And you and I and fortunately so many others have gotten to know that our higher power is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the source of all happiness. And, you know, you can experiment and try to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and see how you feel. And then know what it's like before that when you don't have the relationship. And it's polar opposites, at least in my own experience. You know, I was sharing about this last night at our Calyx meeting that, you know, my spiritual life, my happiness is directly related today as to how much time I spend in prayer. And when life gets busy and cut out some of the routine, I pay the price. And that doesn't mean I go back to drinking. It doesn't mean that I go back to a completely sinful lifestyle, but sin creeps back in. And anger creeps back in, and desperation can creep back in. Fortunately, it doesn't last that long. You know, back in the day, you know, it was a perpetual state of misery. But it doesn't. I know it doesn't have to be that way, and that's one of the benefits of, you know, being away from the drink for almost 30 years. That I know today where to turn and what to do when I hit those dark spots. And you know, people like to say that, you know, time doesn't make a difference. And it's true in some regards, you know, because we only have today. We can only live in the moment. You know, we can't live in the past. We can't worry about the future. We can only live in this moment. So in that regard, I guess it doesn't matter, you know, how long you've been living a life of abstinence and what have you. But there's a whole lot of experience that comes with that time. And, you know, that experience gives me an opportunity to know what's going to happen if I revert back to my old ways. And my experience also tells me that I can change the path I'm on at any given moment. And, you know, we see so many people, Father, that are, they really don't have a choice anymore. They're in the throes of it. It's got them. From the moment they wake up till the moment they pass out, it's all they think about. You know, where they're going to get the next bag, where they're going to get the next drink, who are they going to rob to get the money to pay for it, and they're in that vicious cycle. And once you get out of it, once you find a way to get away from the drink, to get away from the drug, you'll start to feel better right away. Although if you're suffering from withdrawal, it may not be right away, but eventually. And you think because you're not beating up on your wife, you're not, you know, robbing people, you're not getting arrested for fights or DUIs or anything, that life is good. And yet God wants to give us so much more than that. And so that's where Calyx comes in. That's where saints like St. Mark G and hopefully Matt Talbot one day, you know, show the example of people who can lead joyful lives without necessarily participating in their addiction. Now, with St. Mark G, it was different. You know, he was a guy that, you know, like you said, Father, he died still addicted to opium, and God only knows how he survived while he was locked up, and you know, in between the time they arrested him and they killed him. It must have been going through withdrawal, something terrible, but to have the sense about him to, you know, say that he wanted the rest of his family members to go before him so that they didn't die alone, you know, speaks a lot of a man who somehow or other managed to hold that faith together despite his addiction.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Ken, I was just thinking as you were talking to Mark G, there were no, like, Calyx groups, no support groups, no rehab, no programs. And just like Matt Talbot, the same way. And their meetings was going to church.
Right.
They kept showing up at church, yeah. Even though he didn't go to the sacraments. He was receiving, at least spiritually, communion in his heart.
Yeah.
Because the Lord never left him, and he never left the Lord.
So, amen.
You know, it's just amazing. Like today, there's so much help around, you know.
Yep.
To talk to people, the 12 steppers, you know.
Yeah.
All you have to do is make a phone call, get a sponsor, come to an AA meeting, NA meeting, 12-step meeting, Calyx, come to the sacraments, you know, listen to everybody's God story, and you get that hope and that grace, you know, that the Lord works through us and ministers to us through one another.
Yeah, but Father, speaking of which, I think one of the guys that said he was going to call last night is actually on the line.
Okay.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, Ken. How you doing?
All right, brother. How are you?
Good, good. Hello, Father Doug.
Hello, Bill.
It's Billy, Bill? Father Doug, from your
Billy
team.
T.
I was off today from work. I told Ken last night I was going to listen in and call in. I was listening to the St. Mark G. I was reading up on him last night. And just what an amazing, amazing story. It gives hope to people who struggle like I have.
Amen.
You know, with the in and out, in and out. You know, today I've been blessed by God to have a little over 7 months sober. So,
wow.
I put my faith in God, and it works. I turned it over to God, and this is what's happening. I was watching an episode of The Chosen this morning, episode 5 of season 1, and once again, I found myself in tears because the guy who plays Jesus, just the words, it just sounds just like things that, like, you take it to heart. And you know, just hearing you and Ken talk about people, you know, I live in the same area, so I see everything that you guys see. And there's good, there's, like you said, Father Doug, there's goodness in addicts and alcoholics. It's just waiting to come out. Like, you can see it.
Amen.
Yeah, Bill, you know, I was just thinking sometimes, I often like to tell this story, that some people really don't understand it as a disease, and that our brothers and sisters are suffering, and family members around them, and it's a terrible and sometimes a terminal disease. And because it, you know, brings them morality, and they may have to steal and break in the cars just to get that fix, that they would come up to me and say, "Why do you work with these people, Father?" I said, "Because I see Jesus suffering in them." And they would say, "Well, Father, do you ever hear of mortal sin? How can Jesus be suffering them? They steal, they lie, they cheat, they fornicate, adulterate, they get away with murder. And you're telling me Jesus lies in, you see Jesus living in them and suffering in them?" I said, "Wait a minute. First of all, you just did exactly what our Lord asked us not to do. And this is the greatest bargain we'll ever get. If you don't condemn, you won't be condemned. And if you don't judge, you won't be judged. You just place those people right in hell because of mortal sin." But here's the thing. Ken had mentioned this, and this is where I was leading to. So you brought it right up, Bill, that that they are in the state of grace, and I see it. They're blessing themselves here, and I see Jesus suffering in them. And because of the drugs, they don't – mortal sin, there's three factors: full consent of the will, sufficient reflection, and serious matter. Now, they have serious matter, but they don't have full consent of the will. They're enslaved. They don't have, sufficient reflection. Their will is taken away. So, you know, there's five factors to make to diminish mortal sin, the venial sin, sometimes no sin. And they are ignorance, fear, force, habit, and passion. And addicts have all five of those. And so, therefore, because of that, Jesus is in them, and he's crying out in the attic, help me, do something. And like Ken said in the beginning, what are we doing? We're not doing enough. Our brothers and sisters are dropping like flies, they're suffering. And they're all, all the overdoses and deaths that I experienced, every one of them was somebody's little boy or little girl. We're all basically good. We participate in evil. But God doesn't make junk. We make the junk. But God is the junk collector. And I do. And that's one of my charism gifts, I think, is I see Jesus in them suffering so much, just helping, crying out for help. And we do have the help. The help is here. There are so many programs. There's the rehabs and the programs and then the 12-step programs, and then there's our Calyx meetings and bringing people to the sacraments and the Eucharist. There's the medicine and there's the cure. But thanks for bringing that all up, Bill. You know, that's so
true. Absolutely, Father Doug. I thought I'd call in today just because it's a day off, and I know you guys were on the radio, and something I've been wanting to do, and it just worked out. Honor God.
Amen.
There you go. Holy bull.
Amen.
All right, Bill. Thanks for the call, pal. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. Brings us right up to the bottom of the hour, Father. So we're going to take a break. We'd like to have our Is That Odd or Is That God moment when we come back. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to InnerSign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign, both that those prayerful and financial contributions that allow us to bring us shows like today's. Father and I are part of the Calix Society. Father's actually the national spiritual director, and I've been on the board nationally for probably about a decade now. And we have a couple of local Calix groups. Father and I get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood. We begin at 6 o'clock with the Angelus and Adoration, followed by Mass and then a Calix meeting. These days we're starting out at the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, the former Bill Shea Funeral Home. We get started there, and then following Mass, we go over to the Annex Building where we have our Calix meeting. So come on down and join us. That's every Tuesday beginning at 6 o'clock p.m. We have another unit that meets over at Our Lady Help of Christians in Abington, back behind the Target on Old York Road. And we meet there on the third Saturday of the month. So that's this coming Saturday. We go to the parish mass at 8 o'clock a.m. and then go downstairs to the hall after mass and have our calyx meeting. We're usually out of there by 10 o'clock or so. So if you're interested in joining us, it's this Wednesday, or this Saturday, rather, be the third Saturday of the month. We'll get together again, 8 o'clock mass, Our Lady Help of Christians in Abington, followed by our calyx meeting. I think might be on step 12 there this month. But, yeah, come on down and join us. You can get all the information at calyxsociety.org. For Our House Ministries, it's ourhouseministries.org. That's the ministry that Father and I are part of. And for our new shrine over at St. Gabriel's Church, you can visit matttalbotshrine.org. And as always, if you have any questions, you need to get a hold of Father or I, you can give Maureen a call here at the numbers we give out all the time. And she can put you in touch with Father or I. Again, I'll be joined at 5 o'clock by Eric Sammons. We'll talk about his book, Deadly Indifference, How the Church Lost Her Mission and How We Can Reclaim It. You're not going to want to miss it, so stick around at 5 o'clock. So in the first segment, Father and I, we've been talking about St. Mark Zhi, and a Chinese martyr who I guess we've probably learned about as part of Saints and Sinners, and his name comes up every year with his feast day being July 9th. And, you know, really a patron for those who struggle with addiction. You know, you can add him to your list of saints to pray for intercession, especially for family members and friends who struggle with addiction, maybe even make them aware of them. And, you know, computers can be a good thing, and you can, you know, look them up using your favorite search engine. I use DuckDuckGo.com, but anyway, look up St. Mark Zhi, J-I, Tianxing, T-I-A-N-X-I-N-G, martyr that was killed in the year 1900 as part of the Boxer Rebellion in China. And, you know, I mentioned the father, and it really hit me today when it was Joe Devaney, Father, I think, that sent over the link to the article about the 93,000 overdoses last year. And it's tough to wrap your head around the fact that 93,000 people died, and Lord knows how many others got Narcan'd and survived, or how many of those overdoses, how many times they overdosed before it finally killed them.
How many are still out there?
Yeah.
93,000, you know. And again, Ken, I have to say, every one of them was somebody's little boy and little girl.
That's right.
Wow.
Or somebody's mother, you know, today, you know, it's somebody's mom or dad.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
Yeah, I've been, you know, in houses with kids over their mothers that had overdose, and then mothers and fathers over their kids that had overdose. Yeah.
Yeah,
discriminate, right?
Yeah, no, within the last couple of months, right, where the mother and father both overdosed with young kids.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
It's insidious. Yeah, it's insane. It's a tool, the evil one. God help us, you know?
Yeah.
Really?
We got to do more.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, to that end, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but, you know, Father and I have been part of Our House Ministries. We've been looking for a way to grow deeper in our faith and help others to grow deeper in their faith. And I don't necessarily want to openly invite people next Monday, Father, but we're looking to do something. It's going to be tied in with the Matt Talbot Shrine. And, the idea being that we know, Father, myself, there's probably seven or eight others that have some clean time, sober time under their belt, have been back to the sacraments for anywhere from a year to 30 years, and know that Jesus Christ is the answer to this problem. And, you know, so how do we bring others along with us and be able to evangelize them and make them aware that they are loved by God, that there is a spot for them in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, that it is in that church where they can experience the sacraments, which combined with their 12-step program, if they're in one, is going to give them a spiritual experience that neither one could give them by themselves. Guaranteed. So we're not quite sure where it's headed. We're discerning, and I guess there's 10 of us that are planning on getting together next week to see where God's leading us. But if this is something you think you might be interested in, by all means, get in touch with me, and let you know where it goes.
Well, one thing we know, like you said, Jesus is the answer and the solution to all our questions and problems. And when people go into St. Gabriel's here, as we like to call it, the Cathedral of South Philly, you know, on the right you hit Matt Talbot, but like it's almost like heaven's gravity in that tabernacle.
Mm.
You know, the Stations of the Cross and the saints are that all there, you know, all interceding for us and leading us right to the tabernacle. Mary and Joseph up there. And St. Gabriel, we had a new statue up there, Ken. I think you might have saw it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's really pronounced more. I think Gabriel's getting more recognition. But there it is, you know. There he is. Come to me. Whatever your problems are, difficulties, you have an addiction, you worry, you're fearful, anxious, come to me. I'll refresh you. I'll take care of you. Just come to me. We know where he's at, right there in all the tabernacles of the world. And it's radiation therapy. I like that.
Mm.
You know, those rays are coming from his Sacred Heart right on to us. And you just get that moment, that, you know, that ray of grace. You know, it just takes an instant. And it's a game changer.
Yeah.
Ken, I have to say this. At Mass this morning, after Mass, a gentleman came back. And he said, Father, I just want to share something with you. He said, some time ago, there was a woman, Maria, that had passed away. And at the end, you said, that let's say a golden Hail Mary for Maria. And we all, he said, everybody said the golden Hail Mary. Something happened to me, this gentleman said. During that prayer, I just felt this, and you know, his eyes were welling up. He was crying, but it was an experience, Ken, that he had, right there, you know, from the sanctuary, from the heart of Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, touched him in an indelible way, and he could never forget that. And this was months ago. And it's like yesterday that when he was telling me it, and the tears were welling up, and him sharing that story with me, I was getting the God bump, you know. And it's like, there it is, you know, it just takes a moment. Just come to Jesus. You know, he's there waiting for us, you know, and he wants to touch us. He wants to infuse us. He wants to touch us with grace, and we can have an experience. It might just be a moment, but it'll last for a lifetime. But there it is. That's what Mark G. shows us, all the saints, Matt Talbot. It's right there in those, behind those golden doors, and where we can sit in front of him and receive that radiation therapy.
Amen. I was share with, Pat, as you were saying that, I'd share with Patrick and you and a couple others. And Kathleen actually had Father Heilman on the radio a few weeks back. And that that little booklet he has, I mean, it's a tiny booklet. Could probably fit in your wallet that you know, talks about that supernatural grace, that supernatural power that's available to all of us. And Father Heilman, you know, he says you need hot care, H-O-T, care, C-A-R-E. And the hot stands for humility, obedience, and trust. And the care is confession, adoration, Regina, which is the Blessed Mother, and E, Eucharist. And all those things are available to us every day, especially in that word care. I'm sure that if there isn't public confessions available somewhere, you can call a rectory, and there's a priest somewhere that'll hear your confession. But with all the adoration chapels that are around these days, the Blessed Mother is always available, and daily Mass in the Eucharist. With, you know, avail ourselves of a supernatural power. And, you know, that's what we're all, you know, I think kind of looking for in one way or another is that power. I think back to Marty Rotella and that song he does with Power, you know, you know, and that's what we're all looking for. We want the power, and, you know, we want to sometimes, we want it because we want to beat people over the head with it, but sometimes we want it just because we want to be in control of our lives to the best we can. And I think we can do that with that supernatural power, with the power of God.
That's right. You know, the first definition of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, it said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will see power.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. And I think it's in that little black book, Ken, that you're talking about the two lives that we can live. We can live the natural life, which is animalistic. You know, eat, drink, be merry, tomorrow we die. Hedonism, seek pleasure, avoid pain at all costs. Just live like an animal. Or we can live the supernatural life, that
right.
life of grace, that transcendence, where you find real peace and real joy, happiness. You know, happiness is an inside job. We don't find happiness and joy in pleasures. We find it in God, you know. J-O-Y, Jesus, only you. You know, the J stands for Jesus, the Y stands for you, and the O stands for nothing between you and Jesus. And that's joy and happiness, real happiness. So it's in the person. It's like, where do we find joy? You know, St. Augustine, you know, listen to the Blessed Mother. You know, it's just like in the Lord I find my joy, in the Magnificat. I rejoice in the Lord my Savior. Augustine, too. You know, Paul, you know, where do we find joy? I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. So that's where the real joy is, the real life, supernatural life. Everything we're hungry for, everything we're longing for, you know, it's there, you know, within us, in the indwelling of God's presence. And we just need to, like you say, come to God and live that new life, that abundant life, that joyful life, not the natural life. It's a sinful life, you know, to transcend it and live the life of grace. And we'll find that peace and joy in everything we're hungry for, not in a bottle or a syringe or a pill, but in God, our Savior himself.
Amen. And, you know, there's a bunch of us that are living proof of it. And, you know, we do our best to give witness, to let people know. I remember my early days in a 12-step program, hearing the words, you know, that there is a solution. And, you know, so many people today think that there is no solution, that there is no hope, that there is no opportunity for them to find another way to live. And, you know, that's where we come in, Father. That's where other 12-steppers come in. That's where, you know, faith-filled people can come in and let people know that there is a reason to hope, and that reason is Jesus Christ. And, you know, our church needs to provide hope. We as, you know, people within the church need to provide hope to one another. And we can do that, but we first have to get ourselves prayed up so that we have so that we ourselves have that hope, that we believe in that hope, that we know that that better days are coming, that they're and it may not even be on this planet when we experience those better days, but better days are coming. And it's when we radiate that joy, when we radiate that hope, it gives us an opportunity to help others who have not experienced it in a long, long time. And they can believe that it exists before they experience it. And that may be what brings them around again and again and again. You know, our good friend Billy that was on earlier, you know, he'd been through the revolving door a couple of times. But there was each time he went out, he knew that there was something better, because he had had a taste of it, and he came back and he kept coming back. And I'll never forget the you know, this time when he came back, he came to a Calyx meeting before he went to a 12-step meeting, because he knew that that's where the solution was, that's where the hope was, that's where he could you know, find other people that were living a life of joy and hope, and that you know, praying that it would rub off on him. And it has, you know, like you said, 7 months later, drug-free, drink-free. Life may not be perfect, but it's a heck of a lot better than it was, that's for certain.
Yeah, you know, I was impressed when he mentioned Jesus. You know, the whole thing with Calyx, Ken, you know, the acronym, I love it. You take the X for Christ, C-A-L-I-X for Calyx, Catholic Addicts Living in Christ. And Bill mentioned the Chosen. And it was a scene that really touched his heart, that Jesus touched his heart. And there, you know, I have to say, too, you know, I've been watching The Chosen myself. Jonathan Romey, I think is his name. He does play a powerful Jesus, the best I've ever seen out of all the classic movies. that it seems like he brings the humanity and the divinity together as one. He's a Christ that can laugh and, you know, you know can get annoyed. But you see his divinity with his miracles, but you also see this humanity of his, you know. But very powerful. But just like what Bill was saying, was the line there that touched him.
Mm.
And he filled up the honor God thing, you know. And that's what the Lord wants to do with all, just a little touch, just a little touch. He touched me. And boy, that goes a long way. But yeah, Jesus is the answer to all our questions and the solution to all our problems.
Yeah. And I just know from my own experience, and even though I know that, even though I know where to get the solution, for whatever reason, if we have Michael McLaughlin on, he'd say, hey, it's a concupiscence. You know, we deprive ourselves of it. And it's crazy what we humans, the lengths that we'll go to avoid it. And I don't know what the fear is, what we're afraid of. But we'll go out of our way to just not look to Christ for the solution for some period of time. And yet, he's so loving, he's so merciful that as soon as we make the turn, he's there. You know, it's like he's following us, just waiting for us to turn around. He's creeping up over our shoulder. You can feel that he's there. And when you turn around there, he's right there. He's right there waiting for you, you know.
Turn to the Lord. Yeah.
But we resist, you know. I mentioned it. Yep.
Grace,
right? Yep. So. Yeah.
But, I was saying this too. The Otter Guide, I'm just outside, was talking to Chuck before the radio program. We were talking about all this. It was, about that Jesus is the answer and the solution. And we were sharing our stories. And I just have to repeat this again, because I'll repeat it again and again and again. But 19 years old, Ken, you heard me tell this so many times. Standing on the corner of Broad and Oregon, I was in a dark way, a difficult way, and dry as can be, felt like abandoned by God. And then, on top of that newsstand was that triangle sign, and on one side it said, "Dear Jesus, I have a problem, and it's me, sign your brother." Then I walked around the other side, and I read the other side. It said, "Dear brother, I have the solution to your problem, and it's me, sign Jesus." The solution to all our problems, as you say, we just need to turn to him, come to him. We won't get a better invitation than that. Come to me. What's it? Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, come to me." He practically begs us, pleads with us, but we have to come to him. He can't force us. But that invitation is a standing invitation. It's always open. And we know where he's at in all the tabernacles of the world.
Amen. Amen. And, in a church, I still can't get over the fact that Philadelphia was the only place that had public mass back around 1776, the only place in the British Empire. And today, you can go anywhere. Probably in the city of Philadelphia, you don't have to go more than a few blocks to find a church or an adoration chapel that's open. And when you hear that call, when you have that feeling that you're being called to something different, go to a church. Find a tabernacle. Find an adoration chapel, and spend time with God. He'll answer. You may not get it right away. You may not hear words. You may not have visions, but you'll get an answer sooner or later. And Father said it the other night, right? The four answers to all prayers. Yeah. Yes. No. In a while. Or are you
Wait
kidding me?
That's right.
Yeah.
Give me the lottery, the Powerball. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he gives us what we need, not what we want.
Exactly. Yeah. But we got to ask.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, ask and keep asking. Yeah. Seek and keep seeking.
Yep.
Knock. That door will always be open. But I was thinking, too, like the Adoration Chapel. We're blessed in Philadelphia. There's so many water holes, shrines and all. Think of the Pink Sisters, Ken, passing by. I would often go in there when I was stationed up there. and I would have problems and difficulties and challenges. And I'd be just overstressed. And I just said, I'm going to go right, bring it to the Lord. Go in and spend 15, 20 minutes with him. And just, you know, and walk out whistling. But, you know, this was the thing. What changed? I still had the same problems, same difficulties, same challenges. But I changed. I thought, I gave it to the Lord. Let him do it. You know, they're his problems, his difficulties. You know, in him I live and move and have my being. And apart from him, I can do nothing, absolutely nothing. So I need to give him permission. That's what humility really is, giving God permission to care for us. You know, place all your cares on him because he cares for us, you know, and trust him. And everything will be okay. Everything will be beautiful. All shall be well.
Very good. Well, we got just about 4 minutes left, Father.
Yeah, well, you know, where do you want to go?
Not sure. I mean, Henry's pretty short. My buddy Jimmy's probably listening. He was a German king, Holy Roman Emperor, practical man of affairs during his lifetime. So he was born in 972 and would die in 1024. All kinds of wars and battles going on. And trying to just bring about a stable peace in Europe. And he took advantage of his position and appointed as bishops men that were loyal to him and avoided some of the pitfalls of that practice and fostered the reform of ecclesiastical and monastic life and was eventually canonized in 1146. So, you know, another man that... that wanted to bring about peace. We had talked about a saint last week, establish peace. And in this world that we live in today that's so chaotic, that's got disturbances going on in our communities, in our country, around the world. You know, just this week, you know, we're hearing about the protests in Cuba, the president of Haiti that was assassinated, the Taliban, you know, claiming that they're taking all their land back over in Afghanistan now that the Americans are pulling out. It just, you know, we need peace. And again, we may not find it here and now, but we'll find it in Christ.
Yeah. Yep, we will. Yeah. That's where it is. He wants to give us the peace that the world can't give. But yeah, St. Henry, you know, he just loved the church. And his first... business was to govern his own soul. And boy, he would go to churches, adorn them, you know, put a lot of money into them because he knew that's where it all was. Such a wonderful king and emperor. And that story, Ken, that I told last night, so powerful. Everything we're talking about here today, when he was actually hearing Mass, it was an ambassador from a king that was coming with a very urgent message for the emperor from another country, another king. And the ambassador goes up to the assistant of the emperor and says, tell the emperor I need to see him right away. I have a most important urgent from the king. So the assistant goes up and interrupts him at the Mass. And the emperor looks up and the assistant says, there's an ambassador there and he's from his king. He has a most urgent message to deliver to you. And the emperor looked up and whispered, he said, well, you tell him for me, I am with the King of Kings. And I am receiving the most important message of all right here at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And there it is, Ken, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the forgiveness of sins, the destruction of death, and the bestowal of eternal life has already begun. Whoever believes in me, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood, has eternal life. It's already here. I love that little saying that Patrick said the last night, that life is short. Life is short, enjoy it. Eternal life is forever and ever and ever. Prepare for it. But it's right now, it's already begun. And prepare for it. It gets better and better as we give ourselves more and more to Jesus. He reveals himself more and more as we hold to those commandments, more and more of his, those commandments of love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves.
Very good. Got just enough time for your blessing, Father.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, Lord, Father, bless our whole world, all of our leaders, all of our nations, just to live in peace. Make us one heart, one mind, one spirit in you. Take care of us, Father, because we're all your children. And care for us through Jesus, your Son, in union with your Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Father. Everyone. Take care. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be back with our guest right after the break.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia.